Father, I want to thank you and I want to praise you because when all is said and done, Father, when all the stuff that we pursue and all the things that we think are so important to us, when all of those have evaporated and burned up and in one way or another, Lord, they're just gone, you are what we will have. You are who we will have. And if we don't have you, Lord, we have nothing. So, Father, today I pray that that becomes the cry of our heart. That we would say, you can have everything that this world has to offer. But Jesus, I want you. I want to know you. I want to be with you. I want to hear your voice. I want to walk beside you. I want to obey you. I want to worship you. Lord, that is what is eternal. That is what will last forever. And so, God, we give you honor. We give you glory and we give you praise for how amazing you are. Thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness and your goodness to us. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Before we dive into the message this morning, Megan, do you have you have something? Come on up. As many of you may know, some of you may not know, Megan and Eric are now, they have boots on the ground in Nicaragua, and she asked me last week if she could have just a couple of minutes to kind of give an update of where they are and what God's doing. So, floor is yours.
Thank you. For those of you,
about that. Just before I stepped down, I said, Megan and Eric have boots on the ground. And if you take that symbolism a little bit farther, that means that it's a battle. It's always a spiritual battle. It's a battle for us here, but clearly the battle is very unique and sometimes even more intense in another country. And so we just need to make sure that we're partnering together with Megan and Eric as well as Melissa. She's going to be leaving in just a couple of weeks as well to head to India. And I just, one of the cries of my heart is that New Life Fellowship would really become more tangibly and proactively missional in our existence. The opposite of missional, you could probably come up with your own definition or a one-word synonym with that, but the opposite of missional, in my opinion, is selfishness. And if we get so focused on who we are, where we are, what we want to do, we certainly are not missional. But when we, John, where are you? John, oh, John is back in Children's Church this morning. And we had the opportunity to go to a leadership conference a few days ago, and he said one of the phrases that really grabbed him was one of the speakers said, and the church woke up and left the building. and the church woke up and left the building, if we're going to get serious about what we're doing, we've got to set that internal spiritual alarm and say, you know, it's time to get up, it's time to wake up, and it's time to get out into the world where the needs are. And so, Megan, God bless you, and Eric, we are praying for you guys, and we're looking forward to those updates, and I want to encourage everyone, seek the Lord about how, to what degree, what support might look like for you all, but let's really come alongside and partner together those that many of which were raised in this church that are now serving the Lord out on the mission field. So let's really seek the Lord in that regard. Well, today is part two of the sermon series that I started last week called Life is a Highway. And sometimes I'll have subheadings, particularly in a sermon series. And the subheading for today's message is Trailblazers, Truckers, and Tourists. And that hopefully will make a little bit more sense to you in just a minute. But this past week, I dug into this whole idea of a highway, and I discovered that there are 30 verses in the Bible that refer to highways. 30 different verses that refer to highways, and interestingly enough, there's a commonly held misconception that the spiritual symbolism of a highway is typically associated with the passage in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. And I'm going to read that. Starting verse 13, it says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction." Well, the Greek word for way there is hodos, and it means highway. "For the gate is wide, and the highway is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Well, that same Greek word in verse 14 for the word way is also hodos. So it means the highway that is wide is hard. It's wide, but it leads to destruction. And that same word talks about the narrow highway. So if you and I, you know, we hear the word highway very often, we might think of something in New York or L.A. I think they've got 8 lanes or something. We think that a highway is automatically wide. It's automatically the easy route. That's not necessarily always true. But the principles that we can take away from this passage are as follows. Highways are, generally speaking, are not inherently in and of themselves good or evil. But they are inherently dangerous. Every highway is dangerous, whether it's narrow or whether it's wide, it's dangerous. And there are keys that God has made available to us to recognize whether we are traveling on a highway of our choosing, or whether we're traveling on a highway of God's choosing. No matter which highway we're traveling on, they are inherently dangerous, but the dangers are going to be different dependent upon who has chosen the highway for us to travel. I remember many years ago, I was taking my daughter on a trip in New Jersey, and I was on, how many of you ever heard of the New Jersey Turnpike? Okay, how many have ever driven the New Jersey Turnpike? Okay, well, there is something, I used to drive it fairly regularly, and there is something about the turnpike, not only do you have to pay to get on it, but it's a nightmare to get off if you miss your turn. It is a nightmare to get off of if you miss your turn, and I remember I was taking my daughter on this trip, and as I was driving down the highway, I knew it just had this gnawing uneasiness, I missed my off-ramp. But I could see off to my right where I was supposed to be. I could see where I was supposed to be, but I missed my off-ramp. I knew where I was supposed to be, and I knew, man, it's just right there. It's just right there, and I got guardrails everywhere. And then I had an epiphany. There's an on-ramp right here. It would have taken me a long, long time and additional tolls to get back to the off-ramp that I should have taken. But there's an on-ramp, and I can take that on-ramp. And if I take that on-ramp, I can get back to where I need to be. And I was in a 1984 Ford Festiva. I thought, man, I'm not ready to take an hour in the wrong direction. I'm going to take the on-ramp. It looked empty. It looked safe. It looked like the intellectually sound decision to make at the time, until I was halfway up the on-ramp that is not intended for vehicles to get off the turnpike, and an 18-wheeler met me halfway down. Thank God I was in a vehicle that my family affectionately referred to as the Speck, because there was hardly any breathing room between that cursing truck driver's trailer and the guardrail on the other side. God, in His infinite grace and mercy, allowed me to get to where I was supposed to be, and He forgave me for that really, really stupid decision. But spiritually speaking, practically speaking, how many of us can relate to those times that we missed our opportunity to get where God wanted us to be, and it was always, or very often, so much more dangerous to get there after the opportunity that God provided? Can anyone here tell me the three key words from last week? Yeah, I didn't figure. I couldn't either if I didn't have my notes in front of me. So, attention, direction, what's the last one? Destination. Attention determines direction, and direction determines destination. Another issue that I want us to consider as we're thinking about our theme of life being a highway. And that issue is this: the vehicle that carries us to our desired destination. I want us to think about the vehicle that carries us from where we are to where God wants us to be. Let me explain it this way. We may and often do try to choose our life's vehicle before we even know the destination God has in mind for us. I'm going to repeat that. I want us to think about it. We may and often do try to choose our life's vehicle before we even know the destination God has in mind for us. When we do that, the chances become greatly reduced that we will ever reach our desired destination. The destination God has planned for us predetermines the vehicle He will use to carry us there. What am I talking about? I'm not talking about planes, trains, and automobiles. The vehicle I'm referring to, the vehicle that will take us from where we are to where God wants us to be, is His calling on our life. God's calling on our life is the spiritual vehicle that will carry us to the destination that He has predetermined for us to reach. It's not our will. It's not our circumstances. It's not even our personal goals and wishes and dreams and hopes. It is His calling. God's calling on our lives is the spiritual vehicle that will take us to His desired destination. So keeping that thought in mind, I want to talk about three groups of people today. Only two of those groups are acceptable, I believe, spiritually speaking, in regards to a destination. Only two of the groups that I'm going to mention today are acceptable in God's sight. And that being said, I'm confident that each of us here today will be able to determine which of the two groups God may be asking us to belong to. Trailblazers, truckers, and tourists. Let me give a brief overview of those three different subcategories. Trailblazers, truckers, and tourists are similar in that they all can be certain of a starting point. But a major difference between the three is that a trailblazer is compelled to reach a destination no one has ever reached before. A trucker, like a trailblazer, has a specific assignment and purpose. But unlike a trailblazer, a trucker will have a specific direction and a specific course to follow. A tourist, on the other hand, will often get into a vehicle with no predetermined destination in mind. He or she will often start traveling and then end up wherever they want to end up. Or they may end up where they don't want to end up. Because they're tourists. They're just making a decision to get in a vehicle and just go. How many have ever taken a vacation and you didn't have any predetermined final destination in mind? You ever done that? So let's go back for a minute to attention, direction, and destination and ask the question, what do those words mean for you and me in our life? What do they mean for you and me in our lives? To what am I supposed to give my attention? In what direction am I supposed to go? At what destination has God determined that He wants me to arrive at? So these three words, attention, direction, and destination, may serve as a catchy sermon alliteration, but how do they apply to you and I in regards to pursuing God's will for our lives? So let's get specific. Are you a trailblazer? Are you a trucker? Or are you a tourist, spiritually speaking? I want us all to examine who we are, where we are in this moment, spiritually speaking. Are you a trailblazer? Has God called you? Is the vehicle that He has placed before you to get you to His desired destination for your life, has it prepared you to do what you are doing? Are you a trailblazer? If so, what is your vehicle? Are you a trucker? If so, are you in the right vehicle? Or are you a tourist and doesn't even matter to you? Neither of the first two categories is better or worse than the other. But the third category is a category that will leave you empty and unfulfilled when considered in the context of God's calling. To get even more specific, if you're a trailblazer and someone asks you to be a trucker, you will feel empty and you will feel frustrated because it is not enabling you to get from where you are to where way down deep inside you know God has called you to be. Last week we talked about how attention determines direction and how direction determines destination, but the purpose of today's message is to answer the why of attention, direction, and destination. The purpose of this message is to determine the why of those three things. I believe that God is going to reveal to a lot of people exactly who among us are trailblazers and who are truckers. And I believe, and my prayer is, that He will also reveal that if you are currently a tourist in God's Spirit, He wants to reveal to you that He has a specific destination in mind. He doesn't want us just driving down the highway snapping pictures of things that happen to look good in the moment. See, that's what tourists do. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Next. Oh, that is so cool. Wow, awesome. Let's spend a few minutes here. Oh, this is so awesome. And we do that spiritually. We get so focused on the flashing lights and the beautiful mountain ranges and the opportunities that we think God has placed in front of us. And we're just all over the map. We're just all over the place. We don't know where we're going. We don't know why we would even want to go anywhere different than this nameless destination that is in front of all of us if we don't get specific about our prayers and we don't understand that God has more in store. So I want to talk for a few minutes about each of these categories. Trailblazers. The Oxford Dictionary defines the word trailblazer as a person who is first to do something, an innovator or a pioneer in a specific field of endeavor. Pioneers have always been viewed as malcontents, and very often they're polarizing figures. Pioneers have trouble accepting no for an answer. Pioneers are visionaries that look beyond what they can see with their physical eyes, and they aren't map followers. Pioneers are road builders. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Am I saying that God wants all of us to be pioneers? No. How messed up, even more messed up, would our culture be than it already is if everybody was a trailblazer? If you read the history books, you'll find that one of the significant downsides of being a pioneer, read the history books, you'll discover that they got shot at by the cowboys and the Indians. Pioneers were always pushing the envelope. They were always getting out in front, and they were always attempting to go somewhere where everyone else around them said, you cannot go, don't you do this. Pioneers will always, have always, and in the future will continue to always be ridiculed and told it'll never happen. Some of you probably heard me tell the illustration in the past of Robert Fulton. He discovered or invented the steamboat, the steam engine. And literally on his maiden voyage down the Hudson River, he had two groups of people. One group of people were standing there screaming at him while he was still tied to the dock. He'll never get it going, he'll never get it going, he'll never get it going. And he got it going, and those same exact people were screaming, he'll never get it stopped. He'll never get it stopped. When you do something that puts you on the fringe, when you do something that puts you out in front, the people that are watching you are going to ridicule you very often because they're afraid to do it themselves. And there's something inside of us in our sin nature that if there's somebody out in front that is blazing a trail that we're too afraid to walk on, or it's a trail that we're not called to walk on, very often we'll ridicule just because somebody's different, not because even that they're right or wrong. Above and beyond that, there is something about being out front that grates on our sin nature if it's not us. I want you to think about this. Years ago, nobody cared at all about the New England Patriots until they won a Super Bowl. Then they won a second one. And the hate level began to increase. And then a third one. Oh, my goodness. It doesn't matter if it's the Patriots, the Seahawks, the Cowboys, or some other, or the Pittsburgh Steelers, or whoever it might be. It doesn't matter. When you're on top, when you're out in front, those that are beneath, those that are behind are going to say, I don't like them. And I'm going to point out all of their faults. A pioneer is someone who starts or leads others in the development of something new. Pioneers have a firm inner conviction that there is something bigger and better beyond their present reality. They have a mindset that screams out, there's so much more out there and I'm going after it. Who's going with me? Trailblazers do not allow themselves to be deterred by naysayers. The biblical description of the word trailblazer or pioneer is a totally different word, but it has the same exact meaning. And it's the word that you'll find in Scripture. The word is forerunner. Forerunner. I want to read Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 5. It says, comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries. Now, it's funny. I looked at this past week. I'd never noticed this before. I don't know if it's a mistranslation or if it's something that maybe as the church we've never really fully understood as clearly as God would want us to. A voice cries, colon, and then the quote. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Do you guys see where I'm going with this? It doesn't say a voice cries in the wilderness. It says a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord. A voice cries while you're in the wilderness. According to this translation, it's not the voice that's in the wilderness while he's crying. Does that make sense? The voice is crying out when you're in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. When you're in the wilderness, get ready for God. Verse 4, every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I Isaiah 62:10 says, go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, clear it of stones, lift up a signal over the people. When you're in the wilderness, I want you to get ready. I want you to make a highway. He's talking about a forerunner here. He's talking about trailblazers. He's talking about pioneers who are willing to say, I don't care that there's a wilderness in front of me. There's something on the other side that's bigger and better than our current circumstance. And we've got to be willing to confront our fear. We've got to be willing to confront the ridicule and the ostracization of those that are around us. We've got to be willing to look way down deep within ourselves and say, it doesn't matter if somebody doesn't like me. It doesn't matter if someone doesn't agree with me. It doesn't matter if they say it'll never get going and then they turn around and say it'll never get stopped. God is placing something inside of those that are trailblazers to say, God wants me to make a highway in the desert. He wants me to blaze a trail that others before me, many others before me, were not willing to go. But then the New Testament picture of this, Isaiah was prophesying in Isaiah 40, but look at Mark 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. And then we see where we have kind of grabbed hold of this mindset that there was a voice in the wilderness that was crying. Is that true? I believe it is. But are we missing the deeper point here? God was preparing John before he ever got to the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. That sounds like a good career choice. And he preached saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. A forerunner named John prepared the way. But a forerunner is pointless if there is not a person, or in the case of the church, millions of persons who do not follow the forerunner and fulfill their intended purposes. What would have been the point of John? What would have been the point of Isaiah? What would have been the point of any of the prophets? What would have been the point of the early church fathers if there weren't those of us who were a part of the church that said, you know what? God didn't call me to be a trailblazer. But maybe he has called me to be a trucker. Maybe he has called me to be someone who will get in that cab to make sure that I get what needs to be gotten from point A to point B in the spiritual realm. See, I'm not just talking about literal career callings. Yeah, is that a part of it? We got Clint's a trucker. Dylan's halfway through his CDL course. He's going to be a trucker. Is there anybody else in here who has your CDL? You say, but Doug, you're talking about these spiritual things, and my role as a truck driver, my role as a teacher, my role as a graphic designer, my role as an entomologist, my role as a pilot, my role as a business owner. It just feels like I'm just kind of doing what I'm doing, putting in my time. I think we're missing the point. God has a calling for you. See, most of the time in the church when we start talking about and hearing the word calling, you know what we think about? The guy that's up on the platform speaking. maybe the worship leader. But ministry really kind of stops at that point. We have been created to do good works. And your good work is going to be different than my good work. If all of us were forerunners and we blazed this crazy, clear path from where we are to where no one has ever gone before, and then no one comes behind us and goes where they never could have gone had the trailblazer not done his or her job, then what was the point of the trail? God doesn't look at one and say, you're more special than this man or woman. There's not a single person in this place today who will ever discover who God made you to be until you first come to grips with the fact that God created you for a specific task. If you're a trailblazer, then being a trucker will leave you feeling empty. If God has failed you to be a trucker, then being a forerunner will likely paralyze you. Have you ever noticed the tendency to want to be who someone else is? You ever notice the tendency to want to have what someone else has? I wish I could sing like so-and-so. I wish I could look like so-and-so. I wish I had as much money as so-and-so. I wish I could be anyone or anything other than who I am, and I wish I could have anything other than what I have. Who God made you to be is an indicator of where God wants you to go. And you will never arrive at your God-ordained destination until you open yourself up to get into the vehicle that He's prepared for you. Jesus said in Matthew 20, verse 16, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Talked about this before. God has called us. Is there anybody here today who, and don't worry, I'm not going to embarrass you, I'm not going to call on you. Is there anybody in this place that you know what God has called you to do? That calling will never be fulfilled and experienced until you say yes. I've said it over and over and over again, and I think this passage maybe has had as much of an impact on my ability and desire to communicate this to people as any other verse ever has. God determines the calling, we determine the choosing. If He calls us and we don't choose to say yes, then we won't be chosen to answer the call. So wait a minute, it's not up to God. God chose you, we have to say yes, and then we become chosen because we said yes. And I can't tell you how desperately I want New Life Fellowship to begin, each of us as individuals, to start to say, God, what have you called me to do? What is my role? What is my niche? What is my place on this highway called life? Where am I supposed to be? And it is the saying yes that determines whether or not He chooses us and says, now it's time. Simply because you said yes. The only difference between the called and the chosen is our obedience. For years, God called my name, and for years I heard Him tell me to be a trailblazer. And for years I told Him that He had the wrong guy. I told Him I just want to be a trucker. But deep down inside, I was empty, I was frustrated, and I was unfulfilled. My wife will tell you, when we first got married, I would go months at a time, and I couldn't even get out of my own way. I was so discouraged, I was so frustrated. Even in this season where I was working as a sports editor of our newspaper in our hometown, I got to go to professional athletic events. I got to go to NBA games and go into the locker room and sit down and meet professional athletes and interview them. And man, I love sports. It's been a huge aspect and a part of my life. I loved that stuff. And I was miserable. I was miserable because God said, I didn't call you to do this. I've called you to go places that many others are unwilling to go. And He made very clear to me, you're going to be hated. See, that's not a great recruiting tool. Hey, I've got this wonderful plan for your life, and people are going to hate your guts. But it doesn't matter what your calling is. What matters is, are you going to nod your head up and down and say yes when God makes it clear to you? I tried to convince myself that God was fine with me being a map reader, while all the time he was preparing me to be a map maker. And there are gifts and abilities and talents that are clear in each and every one of us. The thing that prevents us from capitalizing on these gifts and abilities and talents is an unwillingness to accept who we are in Christ. Being a map maker is not better than being a map follower. It's just different. Being a map follower is not better than being a map maker. Being a trucker is not better or worse than being a trailblazer. But who are we? What is the vehicle that God has predetermined for us to climb into that will get us effectively to where he wants us to go? Hey, a Lamborghini would be awesome. Unless God has called you to make a trip up into the mountains. A Hummer is really, really, really awesome. But not if he's asked you to move at a high rate of speed, to move into a direction that a Hummer was never intended to go. A Hummer on a fast-paced highway is just going to get in the way. Who are you? Who has God created you to be? A trucker, in the context of this sermon, is someone who God uses to continue to cause impact from the obedience of a trailblazer. The plan and the purpose that God lays on the heart of a trailblazer is empty if people aren't willing to get on that highway and go where God has intended for them to go. Truckers make sure that the things that are needed to carry out ministry are where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there, no questions asked. How many of you have ever ordered something off of Amazon, or you ordered something offline, and that thing that you ordered that you waited for and you waited for and you waited for and you waited for just never showed up? How many of you ever gotten mad at the trailblazer when your product didn't show up? Stinking shipping companies. When you went to Walmart yesterday to pick up a tube of toothpaste, you found what you needed because a trucker paid attention to the directions and it got to the correct destination. Jeremiah 31:21 says, pay attention to the road on which you travel. Pay attention. Remember talking about last week? We need to be careful about the things that we give our attention to as opposed to the things to which we pay our attention. Pay attention to the road on which you travel. Oh, off ramp. Pay attention to the road on which you travel. We got a church, as I said earlier, that's just, there's more and more truckers that are represented here than I realized. Truckers are like umpires. You really get noticed when you don't do your job. You really get noticed when you don't do your job. Truckers are servants. I believe that is the highest calling in the kingdom of God, is to be willing to be a servant regardless of whether you're a trailblazer or a trucker. Do you have the heart of servanthood that says, I'm going to do my job to the best of my ability because Jesus is the one I'm doing it for? Truckers follow trailblazers, but both follow God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. See, I think we get off track when we say, well, I'm not going to follow a spiritual leader because God is my ultimate leader. I think that's a problem. We need to have servant leaders in the church today. We need to have men and women that are willing to step out front and sometimes get shot at by the cowboys and the Indians. We need to have men and women like that who are first and foremost following Christ as their leader. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. In John 12, 26, it says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Effective servants are those who do exactly what God has called them to do. Attention determines direction. Direction determines destination. And it doesn't matter whether you're a trailblazer or a trucker. What does matter is the vehicle that carries you. God wants us to know our calling. See, I spent all my time talking about trailblazers and tourists today. Trailblazers and truckers. But what about tourists? The last thing in the world I want to do is embarrass anyone, and I'm not going to embarrass anyone. But I really, 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 truly believe that God is asking us to examine our hearts. And for us to give an honest assessment to ourselves. Have I engaged in religious tourism? Am I just kind of along for the ride? I found a seat in the back and I've got my camera and I'm taking pictures. Church in Whatcom County does not need one more congregation that just shows up on Sunday mornings and doesn't leave here on Sunday afternoon ready to blaze a trail, ready to climb into the cab of our vehicle to say, I'm going to go, Jesus, where you've called me to go. The church in Whatcom County does not need one more body of believers who scratch their religious itch because they came to church and they don't feel any need to scratch it again until the next Sunday. People in our lives are looking at us, they're watching us, they're listening to us, they're paying attention to us, and they are asking themselves, whether consciously or unconsciously, I can't answer that question. But I believe they're asking themselves the question, do they have something that I would even want? Are they going somewhere that I would even want to go? Are we so comfortable in our existence that when God speaks in a still small voice, we basically go, yeah, 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 yeah. I like my vehicle. I wash it all the time. I like my vehicle. I love climbing in my vehicle and going where I want to go. With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, are we willing to ask ourselves that question? Are we really, truly willing to ask ourselves that question and say, am I in the right vehicle? Has God called me to something that I just didn't want to go to? Has he placed a calling on ministry, of ministry, and a spiritual destination that I just don't want to go there? With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, if there's anyone here in this place today that would say, Pastor, I have been struggling with the fact that I believe there's more that God's asked me to do, and I've never said yes to it. If that's you, would you slip your hand up where you are? And by that, all you're saying is, Doug, will you just pray for me? Anyone? God bless you. I see those hands. Anyone else? I see that hand. Anyone else? I see that hand. Jesus loves us so much. He loves us so much that he's not going to stop knocking on our heart's door, and he's not going to give up on the plan and purpose that he has for you and for me. Jesus, thank you for loving the way that you do. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Life is a highway, and the ultimate destination is eternity with you, Jesus. And I want to make sure, Father, that spiritually speaking, I don't miss the off-ramp. Do what only you can do, Father. Thank you for your goodness to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.